This is the first workshop that we've got today, and it's not just sitting down listening. We're actually going to be doing something. You'll see on your table you've got big sheets, post-it notes, pen. We're going to need a scribe and someone to feedback at the end of it. But before that, we've got some presentations from two people. So we've got Helen Harland, who is a sustainability project manager in the zero carbon team at Manchester City Council. I don't think many councils have got that person, but Helen's here, and we have. And then we've got Atilia Erdog, who is the founder and director of Beat Bazaar and the director of Gobi Fest. I'm going to start with Helen. Thank you, Helen.
Hi, everyone. Thank you. That was so great, what we just did. I didn't expect to be sat there singing the word inspired repeatedly. Going to put this on. And I'm sorry that I'm going to go from that to a PowerPoint. So it's a little bit different. Hopefully, for a bit of inspiration. So if I just tell you a little bit about why I'm here to begin with, and then I've only got, I think, five slides, and then I'm going to hand over to Atilia. But the most part of this session, we wanted you to talk to each other, hopefully get some inspiration, ideas from each other, sort of with a bit of a loose structure, but you can play around with that as you want to, really. So I am in the Manchester City Council, so again, welcome to Manchester. It's great to have everybody here. Not currently got any rain, but it's probably on the way. I've worked at the council for 17 years now. 10 of those was in the events team. So either direct delivering events or commissioning events, supporting event partners, maybe through very small funding pots that we've got, or people that wanting to take bring events into the city, either in parks, in our public spaces. Primarily outdoor events is my background, with some indoor events as well. And then last year, I moved over to our zero carbon team, which sits within our policy team, to try and further that work from a more policy, like one step removed angle. So we have our, and I think if you could step onto the first slide, please. I think. This one just sort of sets in a bit of context. I'm not sure if everyone can read that. Yeah, you guys can see that as well. Manchester declared a climate emergency back in 2019. In that, we had a science-based target working with the Tyndall Centre at the University of Manchester so that we could get to zero carbon by 2038, is what the target is. So within that, there's a raft of actions, and events is one of a multitude, which we've currently got an action in there that says we will deliver sustainable events and we will help other people deliver sustainable events in Manchester, basically. So a bit of sort of context of where that sits. And then on to the next one, please. This is the approach that we're taking. And sorry if that's a bit too small, I'm going to talk it through as well. The approach, we started out with an approach pre-COVID. We had a raft of guidance documents ready to go and help people with it, which aimed to sort of speak to events in Manchester, but it is applicable elsewhere. They're called our Sustainable Event Guides, very imaginatively titled. And they sort of set out, if you've not approached sustainability on an event before, what you might want to do, what you might want to think about, in a bit of a checklist format. COVID obviously derailed so much stuff. Everybody had far less time coming back from that. We could really see the challenges of the sector. So we've taken a slightly different approach at the moment, which is to simplify that into these five key areas. And that's basically the approach that we're trying to take across. It ends up being about 100 events that take place within city venues that are city council delivered, city council funded, about 100 of different sizes. So we are trying to adopt that approach. Everyone's in at different stages. I guess that's the same for in the room, and hence why we thought the workshop idea would work well. Or you might all be really far on and I can go and steal all your ideas and take them away. That would be great too. So we've got these five areas, which is around energy, the power that's used, the waste that's produced. I might be saying these in a different order. The food and drink, obviously very important for an event. water and travel, be it not the last one, really. It shouldn't be the last one because it's not the least one. The biggest impact of any event is travel. So we're trying to engage on those areas and give it a bit of a structure, basically. And in terms of what we ask of events that take place in the city, as a city council, we're trying to move towards an approach where, hopefully in the not too distant future, there is more of a structure, because we're very aware that there's different approaches. Our approach as a city council will be different to Bristol City Council, will be different to another local authority, a combined authority, the Arts Council. We also have a number of sports events, so UK Sport have a slightly different approach. Really, these five areas feature in all of those and some more. So this isn't everything. Obviously, there's some very big emissions from there in terms of biodiversity, climate justice. It doesn't attempt to cover everything, but what we are trying to say is, can you focus it on that, and we can help with some areas of that. If you could step to the next one, please. These are the questions which are dotted around the table, so I'll go around that. I'll go through that in a bit more detail shortly, but we basically, and you'll get these slide packs as well, these are the questions that we're focusing in on over this current year, as we move towards 2025, which is our sort of midpoint target to 2038. Midpoint in terms of carbon, but I won't go into that. And I think that might be my last slide before I hand to Attilia. Is there another one? Oh, I put a few pictures up because I was conscious it was a bit too PowerPointy. So just checking on the time, how much time I have got. Yeah, we're good. We, as well as trying not to be too, this is what we think you should do, and off you go, have fun, come back and tell us. We as a city council are trying to help our event organisers with different projects. One of which, the top one, is we've got a power project where for outdoor event organisers in the room, generators are obviously not great, take up too much space, make too much noise, ruin the air quality around them. So we're very conscious that we want to make mains power more accessible. So we're doing a big piece of work to look at whether we can improve our public spaces so that people don't need to bring in generators. And the ice rink, which is on at the moment, is currently half powered off mains power. It used to be completely off generators. We managed to move it last year onto half mains power. So that saved 50,000 litres of diesel last year. So it's going in the right direction. We'd prefer it to be completely on mains power, on a green tariff. It's going in the right direction. And then a reusable cup pilot, which I won't go into a huge amount of detail because I need to hand over to Attilia. We have got a stack of cups that get used for Christmas markets, and they sit in storage most of the year. So we started up a project, which is quite a simple idea, just lending them out to events during the year so that it makes it easier for people to switch away from disposables. And I think that is the last one now, I think. I went ahead of time. That was the cup one. And then I'm going to hand over to Attilia. I think if you step to the next one. Yeah, I'm going to hand to Attilia, who has been delivering Gaberfest for, I'm not going to steal your thunder in what you're going to say, but a few years now in Manchester, and has received funding through the City Council. So in terms of that structure, has been great in sort of accepting that and running with it and sort of making that her own, really. So she's going to talk through a bit more detail, bring to life that can be quite a dry structure of what that actually means for her event.
Thank you. Thanks, Helen. Do you mind if I take the mic just so that I can see what I've actually written? So, if you don't mind. Thank you, Helen. Yeah. thank you for having us here. So, my name's Attilia. I am the founder and director of GoBeFest. And what is GoBeFest? So, we launched in 2017 in Albert Square in Manchester, where the power was really good. So we had no generators whatsoever. GoBeFest is an international folk and culture festival spotlighting Eastern Europe, Carpathian Basin, and Transylvania. We showcase musicians, bands, large-scale dance groups from that region, Hungary, Romania. We've had Poland, Ukraine, and Slovakia artists coming over. We welcome folk dance groups from all over the UK as well. We've discovered quite a few, and there's more and more attending each year. We also run workshops and activities for the whole family. So we've, Kodai music workshops for babies as well as the elderly. We've got a project called Gobi Backstage, which provides pathways for young people who want to work in the festival circuit, who might want to learn how to be artist liaisons or sound engineers. I've got a youth work background, so I like to bring young people in. And in the following year, they end up working for us as freelancers if they've shown to have that talent and sparkle. We attract around 20,000 people over 3 days. And we did an AGF assessment, with the Greener Festival assessment, thanks to Helen, and Helen supported me through that process last year. You might wonder, why Transylvania? Well, I am a Mancunian, but I was born in... I'll let you listen.
Transylvania, in particular, is that there's so much we can learn from, it seems to me. But it is the last corner of Europe where you see true sustainability and complete resilience and the maintenance of entire ecosystems for the benefit of mankind but also for nature. And there's so much we must learn from that before it's too late, I think.
So presumably this is why it's so important to preserve it for the future.
Well, I think so, but people will say, she's just trying to preserve things in Aspic and you're trying to prevent progress and so on. But you'd think by now we might have learned a few lessons from the things that have gone wrong with an agri-industrial approach to everything. Because the great thing, it seems to me, about Transylvania is the combination of natural ecosystems, the forests and the agricultural areas, together with the human cultural systems. And it's this extraordinarily unique, integrated relationship which is of such huge importance. Once you pull it all apart, you're left with something which can just be exploited without being treated in a sustainable way, if you see what I mean. Because if you cut down great swathes of the Carpathian natural forest, you're actually destroying one of nature's great services to the rest of mankind.
So that was the inspiration behind Transylvania, behind GobiFest. I've lived here for 30-odd years, and in that 30 years, I must have had about a million people ask me if I know Dracula, if I've got fangs. And it really, it started to annoy me because I thought, as long as we keep believing in ghouls and vampires and thinking about these things and we don't think that this place exists, there's vast amounts of forest. The oldest forest is disappearing. And having worked with lots of communities in Manchester and lots of cultural events, I thought it was time to show that diversity, that sustainability element of what Transylvania really is about. And it really, really worked. So the progress that we've made on different elements of event sustainability, waste. So since we did the AGF Greener Festival assessment, we always reuse signage, actually. We don't rebrand it. Well, we do rebrand every year, but it doesn't mean that we throw away all the banners. They all connect. So we might add another banner to last year's banner, and it tells the story even better rather than throwing it away. We do hire equipment rather than buy. We did the reusable cup scheme twice. Are we getting better at running that? And that's worked quite well. We use the dishwasher in the football museum. We have to have more staff to run and wash the cups. And we source T-shirts and flyers sustainably, so we talk to the people who we're sourcing, organisations that we're sourcing it from. And we started collecting waste oil and recycling it. We do use mostly mains power. There's one generator that we have to use because, food stores have to run off that one generator. Travel, it's obviously an issue because we are an international event. We do bring artists from abroad, but we try to get them to perform in more than one town, or maybe go over to drive over to Ireland with a ferry. So we still, for example, last year we had 150-piece children's orchestra, and they didn't just perform in Manchester City Centre; they also performed in London. Yeah, we let people know how they can get to the festival. We send out information on our social media as well on how to travel sustainably, come with a bike, come with a tram. We talk to all our food concessions in advance, send them lots of information, make sure that they're only using the right serverware. We engage with them early and pass on any information that come from the zero carbon team as well. And we also started to run Zoom meetings with the with our food concessions. Don't sell bottled water. We try to get the traders to comply with local seasonal organic food where possible. We use reusable bottles backstage so the artists can fill up their reusable bottles. Last year we had our own, well this year, I keep saying last year, but it's actually, it was this June. We had our own food store, so we ran our own food store, so we had more control over what we were doing and added social benefits, economic benefits. We involved some of the, we've also got a zither band, we involved some of the parents, which helped with their employability as well. And we ask all the traders to provide vegetarian and vegan options. We used the football museum's toilets, so we didn't hire any portaloos. And also in the surrounding venues, we encourage our audience to fill up their water bottles, as well as in the football museum. So we started collecting data thanks to the AGF assessment. We also work with an underrepresented community. We have partnerships with the Woodland Trust, so the Woodland Trust can come along and show what the good work that they are doing. The youth work, the 150 piece orchestra, actually planted some trees. So, you know, we kind of offset their tree planting with their travel to the UK. And we share as many environmental sustainability messages and goals on our social media. We still have challenges. Obviously, waste separation is a challenge. Just making sure that the event staff do it, and also making sure that the audience, because even if everything's got signs on it that you should put separate waste, the audience doesn't always behave in that way. So it's changing the audience's behavior. That's a challenge. Not enough mains power on site yet, still. So we're working on that. We're showcasing the Carpathian Basin, so there's always going to be a bit of an international travel element. And capacity is an issue. We need a designated person to work on sustainability. So we're working on our sustainability policy. We're looking for a designated person. We want to recruit more volunteers to try and help with that data collection and looking at more partnerships around conservation, forest conservation, and responsible tourism, etc. So, yeah, I hope, was I over? Did I run over? Okay, brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you. So it's over to you guys now. We've got half an hour, just under. We're going to come back at 2:15. So on the tables, which is these eight, is it?
Seven,
thank you. These seven tables, they've got their big flip charts, and they should have some printed out questions related to those five key areas. But it's basically this: what are you currently doing to reduce impacts around those areas? So if you've got a particular interest in talking about energy and power, do we know which is on which table? If we've got food there, water. I'll come to that one. Thank you. Waste, thank you. What have you guys got? Travel. Power. Another travel? Travel. Right. And your power. Right. I'm not sure I can remember all of that. So if anybody heard one that they wanted, just have a little mill around, chance to stretch your legs. Find the one that you're particularly interested in or stick at the one you're at. So we're going to do just under 15 minutes at each one, and then we'll give you a bit of a countdown warning, and then it's time to switch over to another group. So you'll only get two, basically. We've then added in, as well as those five key areas, as I said before, that is not the be-all and end-all. We have also added in ecological impact of your festival administration as well, about buying power, supply chain, that sort of thing. So if you can have a think about what you've done or doing, what's going well, what are the challenges, and also we thought it might be useful if people have got particular standout suppliers they wanted to recommend today, feel free to pop that on there. So we'll do it, and then we'll do a 10-minute feedback, and then if the person on each table, well, we need a person on each table, please, that will be a scribe, can write super neat, in capitals is probably the easiest, so that then the festival team can make sure that information can get shared. We obviously won't be able to feed everything back in 10 minutes, but we'll pick out the key points. So maybe a scribe and somebody that's willing to speak out, or everybody chip in. Does that make sense? Yeah? Great. So yeah, you've got just under half an hour, and we'll let you know when we're coming to the end of the first spot.
If we've got time, Q&A at the end, if that's all right. Yeah, I don't know how this goes. Okay, everyone, I'm really sorry to break up the conversation, but we're trying to keep to time. So if everyone could get a seat, and then we'll do some feeding back now. Where's Attilia? Oh, come. Okay, so let's start with... Helen, do you want to start with water? Should we start with water first? Right, we're going to start with waste. So where's the waste table? Yay! Where's the wasteful table? So could someone... We obviously don't want to hear everything that you've written. So if you could just give us some highlights from your discussions for each table. If you've come back to the table, I realise there's more stuff on there. But yeah, we'll start with waste. We'll just get...
Hello? Okay. So we've got moving from pop-up banners to eco versions of those, and doing things like Velcro patches to change the dates and stuff on banners instead of just buying a new one every year. Going all digital so that there isn't like you've done today, like no festival schedules for 100-odd more people, reusable cable ties, and using food waste to like give to charities and food banks, not over ordering, and booking food before orders.
Thank you. Right, let's go to power next. Who's got power? Oh, there we go. Right, can we pass the mic? Thank you. Pass the power. Come on, Jack.
Okay. So there's a lot of talk about generators and how to get mains power supply in more places, whether how to lobby local authorities or other landowners to do that. We talked about maybe working together with other events or users of certain sites to sort of identify a couple of key locations within your town, city, region to sort of really prioritise to push for the investment of a mains power supply. We talked about whether there is things like Section 106 funding from local authorities, if there's developments happening near you that could possibly invest in that, and how, this is a question we don't know the answer, but how does it link into the rollout of electric car charging points with the sort of investment in power infrastructure? How can that tie into including power points for public spaces? We talked about site design and how reduce power usage. More power, please. I think that was just a general call out. have I missed something, people? think that's generally was just how to, when you don't have control of the site, which is basically what everybody was, I think, in the same situation was, how do you pressure and how do you persuade to get that investment in place?
Okay, brilliant. Thanks, Jack. Right, we're going to move to ethical admin next.
Yes, so we put have a like use Zoom or Teams for meetings or equivalent, reduce paper, buy into green power, switch to green bank, audit of suppliers, use LED lighting, do you need an office at all, performance results, workshops with staff or highlighting issues, sustainable event checklist, and using the ISO 20121, measuring carbon footprint, identifying generator output usage, personal responsibility, food waste reduction, paperless ticketing, use of bamboo, use olio for unsold food, and maybe go meat free. And yeah, that's it.
Brilliant, thank you. Over to water next. I know Nick was just there on his own. It was a lonely place just now in water. Not sure what was going on there. But yeah, hopefully there's something.
Yeah, we were slightly, none of us are directly working on the ground in festivals at the moment, although some of us have in the past. But yeah, there's a few things, and a couple that came up while I was away. So obviously, as this had said, about having kind of standpipes on site that people can refill to reduce the amount of bottled water that's being used. Talking to toilet suppliers on site about whether actually asking them if they've got equipment that is either low water volume or can recirculate water for flushing, because that's a thing that quite often gets missed. Or as I think it was the your festival, actually just finding a local place that you can access mains toilets and doing an arrangement with them. If there are standpipes, putting water meters on them so that over time you can measure how much water is being drawn by the public, so that at the end of the festival you can kind of say, well, actually, like 10,000 litres of water came out of the tap. That's 20,000 plastic bottles that didn't come on site. Auditing venues for their own water usage. Other venues, kind of, you know, lovely fancy new buildings like this, or are they older venues where they've maybe got old systems? They might be able to get grants or access things for grey water use for toilets, things like that. Are there ways that actually the venues themselves can get upgraded? I don't quite know what this one means because it wasn't here at the time. Okay, yeah, sort of being aware that the of the water policy framework from DEFRA, and kind of what's the kind of, is that about capacity, what the baseline kind of provision in an area is, and yeah. And likewise, kind of talking to the council and the water company, like what's the local plan? If you're on a site where there isn't mains water available, I guess it's similar to power, like is there a way of making it available? Or actually, I know some places in Edinburgh have had success in the past of talking to the water companies about, can they just borrow some of the big bowsers that the water company use when the supply is off? Can they bring some of them along as a sponsor just to have water on site for the weekend? Is another kind of option. And then similarly here, we've got looking for water charities that you could partner with, both in terms of kind of awareness locally and I guess kind of... like the kind of international picture of water is actually, that's quite a major thing that festivals could be raising awareness of, people like WaterAid and stuff, I guess.
Thank you, that's brilliant. Right, can we move on to food and drink now? Could you pass the mic to food and... Oh.
Thank you. Yeah, so we had using local outlets, if you can, if you're an outdoor event that's maybe shops around it, rather than bringing people in, or making use of on-site cafes, for example, not discouraging people to bring their own food, or even better, actively encouraging it, so kind of picnics so that people can bring their own. offering discounts on reusables, although there was mixed reviews on whether that works, depending on the venue and the event. Working with charities who can produce food from food diverted from land waste, from landfill. Guidelines, using guidelines for suppliers, providing plant-based food, so either 100% plant-based or at least kind of more sway towards plant-based rather than meat. Just not using the single-use plastic, so again, encouraging water bottles to be refilled and then using locally sourced food.
Brilliant, thank you. And can we finally pass that along to Travel or whoever's got the other mic? Thank you.
Hi, slightly inevitably, we have more challenges than things going well, but I'll go with the positive just to try and end on a good note. Using coaches, minibuses, providing that for trying to get people putting that on at the festival's cost. Digital participants, so even though that having somebody on Zoom, even on a Q&A, but rather than obviously doing it, bringing them over in live to do that. Carpooling, cycling tickets was quite a nice one, so actually encouraging that as part of the festival, so having a stop of places that you can do on your way to the festival to cycle and then providing bike storage, etc. And then kind of data collection and guidance being supported by councils, which sounds a bit like what you're doing in Manchester, that kind of thing. And a kind of ideals of kind of tour coordination, does that work if you're bringing artists over, as what you were saying. We've also got electric vehicles written down here, but certainly from my perspective, we're a very rural, very, very rural festival. So I know that we don't have electric chargers where we are, but obviously if that happens more, then that'd be great. Yeah, and then a lot of challenges, but I won't.
Thank you very much. Okay, I can see Helen's been making notes here.
And we've just got one more travel table.
Oh, we've still got,
Should we get some challenges from this one? Because there are challenges.
Yeah.
So we split ours into audiences, artists and staff, and we were talking about influence versus control. So some of the challenges are rural areas and accessibility. There's some people who simply can't use public transport. When you have a late finish at events and there is no transport available. We talked about putting on festival buses and shuttles both for audiences and artists, but one of the challenges is that a cost to the audience or is it a cost to the arts organisation? And is that financially sustainable in these difficult times? We talked about using discounts for people travelling to the festival using public transport or green transport. And we briefly touched on hotels. Can you influence people to book green hotels? Artists, we started talking about the use of residencies. So you have people on site for a longer period of time. They spend more time with you, so it kind of offsets their travel. They're not travelling as much. More remote participants and maybe having a quota for that to kind of offset, looking into offsetting carbon footprints with local companies, banning internal flights or first class travel, potentially using cargo bikes, tracking carbon footprints for staff, maybe artists as well. And then a final interesting question was, how do we measure success? Are we measuring success from the number of people we pull in from far afield, or are we measuring our success based on the impact in the local area?
Good. Okay. Right. I think it'd be good to hear from both of you on what you've heard just now. Is that right?
Yeah. Thanks, everyone. You've been working really hard and we'll be ready for your break, I'm sure. So I just shot down a few things. Loads of great ideas. I think on the power, my favourite subject currently, that lack of control over sites is something that I hear a lot. It's so hard when you're turning up for a 3-day event once a year to make a real big impact. So what I have seen seems to be happening more and more is festivals that don't have Manchester City Council collaborating together to, you spoke there about what is your influence, coming together and trying to make that case to a local authority to have that conversation. And obviously, depending on the size of the event, some events can be spending a huge amount on temporary power, so there's a potential conversation to have there. So that one stood out to me. There was a lot of talk about reducing in the waste one, which was great, actually reducing what's used in the first place. In the power, that's something that we're trying to look at as well. As well as switching it from one source to another, is how do we actually reduce that down? And there's more and more companies out there that are actually helping event organisers to look at that. And not just necessarily using the same generator sets that they used last year, but what actually do they actually use on site? And CO2 footprint came up, carbon footprinting came up a few times, which, as a Tilliard and I well from doing the AGF assessment, is a beast of a job to do. But we're really glad we did it. We did it for Atelier's event, and we did it for three other community events, and then our Christmas markets that are on right now, which are a beast. So it was a big piece of work to do the first time, but actually coming back to it the second time is that a bit easier. We are looking to do a bit of stuff in-house. We did buy in some support on the last lot. We're looking to use free tools like the Julie's Bicycle tool, if people have come across that before. That's really, really user-friendly. And I know it's a bit boring counting the numbers, but for me, unless we actually count what the impact is, we're never going to know whether we're doing any better. So that's a big one for me that you've probably heard me banging on about way too much. And that's all I was going to say, really, other than, yeah, I completely agree, the travel is the hardest one, is the biggest impact and the hardest one. I think there was mention, I can't remember which table, of working with local authorities. I'd say in Manchester, we've got Transport for Greater Manchester. In other areas, we'll have similar, hopefully. They do have a lot of data, and I think it's a bit of an untapped area in many ways, that they know what travel... You're never going to get data from them which is 100% who came to your event, but my hope is we can work with them a bit better to understand how many people are switching over to public transport on big event days, so that we've got a bit of a temperature check, really. Because, yeah, that gathering of travel data is a beast, isn't it? Yeah. Great. Do you want to...
got anything else to add, really, apart from I think it's really important for festivals to keep sharing knowledge. This was I'm sure from a festival point of view, this has been really useful for everybody, so thank you, Buffer, and continue doing this on an annual basis, because that's how we can all improve, I think.
Let's thank Helen and Tilliard.
Right, we're keeping time, everyone, because we've got 2 minutes, so just to quickly say, I saw some people taking notes from the slides and taking pictures. We're going to get them out to you, so you don't need to make notes, basically. The biscuits on the table are gluten-free and vegan. Just wanted to point that out, if that puts you off. We've just... they're all mine. We've just talked about water, and a nice segue is we're near the water,